Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Maonites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already in Hazazon Tamar." That is another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people, Israel, arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name." They said, "Whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear and rescue us. And now, see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now, see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. And so when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Verses 1 through 30, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Then looking in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, picking up at verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right word so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador, so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the power, the wisdom, the counsel found in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that your word is the sword of the Spirit. And not only is it the sword of the Spirit, your word is also an arsenal of many weapons and much equipment that we can use to go forth as victorious warriors stepping out onto the battlefield of life, knowing that we're a part of your kingdom army, and by the power and the wisdom of your Spirit and your word, we can go forth victoriously every single day. Lord, more and more, teach our hands to war. Help us to be believers that know how to take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and take the arsenal of your word and use it victoriously everywhere we go. More and more empower us to be the victorious church you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for being where our help comes from. Thank you so much for being our provider. Thank you so much for equipping us with everything that we need to thrive in the face of this warfare. Father, thank you so much for calling us to you. Father, I ask that you wouldn't relent, that you'd continue to call us, that you'd ignite fires in our hearts to be more passionate for your word, for your truth, and for your ways. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And as we often do, we're going to share a brief article before we introduce our in-studio guest today. And remember, if you'd like to get a copy of the article, simply email us my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, joseph@afr.net. The title of the article, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verses, Ephesians chapter 5 verses 22 to 33, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present her to himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Again, Ephesians 5, 22 to 33. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. The best defense is an offense. This is a statement that we may hear in many a sports situation and even in other situations as well. But nowhere is this statement more true than in the kingdom of God. And probably few places is this more true than in the Christian family. Well, an important question one may ask is, how can a believer get on offense in spiritual warfare? Great question. Very simply, faithful obedience to God and his word puts you on offense spiritually. We're each called to read and study the word of God diligently, then faithfully obey what we learn. When Abraham packed up his family and moved to the place God had told him to move to, he got on offense. And as long as he obeyed God, he stayed on offense. When Moses, in obedience to God, walked into Egypt and confronted Pharaoh and told him, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go," he stepped onto offense. Moses went on offense when he obeyed God and spoke these bold words to Pharaoh. So when we in our families and in our homes are wise enough to passionately obey God in the way we guide, mold, and shape our children and families, we're getting on offense. When husbands and wives start to pray together daily, they're on offense. When parents begin to pray daily with their children in their home, these parents are going on offense as well. When husbands and wives seek to diligently love each other, sacrificially as we're called to, they're on offense in their marriage and in their home. When families and individuals in the family ignore the word of God, disobey the word of God, or just neglect the word of God, it leaves us to function on defense in the family. When parents have their children to read the word of God every day, when you and your family take time to talk in practical ways about how to live out the word of God as a family, you're on offense. Disobedience to the word of God opens the door to the devil and allows him to have access to our homes and our relationships in our homes. It gives the devil the opportunity to attack our marriages and our families and our homes. It quickly can put your family on the defense. So one can see that obedience to God's word is critical in the kingdom of God and in the Christian family. Well, the question one may ask about this reality is, why is obedience so important in the kingdom of God? We're going to pick up there on the other side. The title of the article, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. We'll be right back.
Same God is never late. is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high.
Music from Vertical Worship with Yes, I Will. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're in the midst of sharing an article entitled Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Picking up near where we left off. When husbands and wives start to pray together daily, they place themselves on offense spiritually. When parents begin to pray daily with their children in their home, these parents are going on offense as well. When husbands and wives seek to diligently love each other sacrificially as we are called to do, they're on offense in their marriage and in their home. When families and individuals in the family ignore the Word of God, disobey God's Word, or just neglect the Word of God, it leaves us to function on defense in our families and in our homes. When parents have their children to read the Word of God every day, and when you and your family take time to talk in practical ways about how to live out the Word of God as a family, you're putting your family on offense. Disobedience to the Word of God opens the door to Satan and allows him to have access to your home and your relationships in your home. Again, disobedience gives the devil the opportunity to attack our marriages and our families and our homes, neglecting to do things God's way. It can quickly put the family on defense. So one can see that obedience to God's word is critical in the kingdom of God and in the Christian family. Well, a question one may ask about this reality is, why is obedience so important in the kingdom of God? Another great question. Well, one reason that obedience to the word of God is so important is this. The word of God is the wisdom of God. It's the strategy of God. It's the counsel of God. God's word always works when you live it out. God's word is a sure strategy. Also, the kingdom of darkness has no adequate defense against obedience to the powerful word of God. Obedience to God's word is also empowered by the anointing of God and the grace of God, which works behind it. So may we as husbands and wives, dads and moms and children in the home be wise enough to do this. Make it a goal to always live on offense in our Christian lives. In other words, may we as a family strive to live fully obedient lives as families seeking to live for Christ and His glory. The following are some suggested weapons or tools or tasks you and your family can seek to use or do on a daily basis to keep you on offense. Number one, read the Word of God daily, individually, and as a family together. Number two, discuss as a family how you can live out the Word of God. Number three, make it a goal to be kind and thoughtful to your spouse every day. Number four, pray daily, individually, and together as husbands and wives and together as a family. Number five, attend Sunday morning worship and Bible study together as a family. Number six, worship together as a family both at church and at home. Number seven, make it a goal to walk in love, patience, and forgiveness as a lifestyle in your marriage, your family, and your home. Number eight, get involved in mission projects and go on mission trips as a family. Number nine, come up with projects to raise money for missions and ministries that do great work in the kingdom of God. And number 10, go out as a family and distribute gospel tracts in strategic places. Finally, be mindful that individually and as a family, we're called to always be on offense in the kingdom of God. In other words, we're called to live a life full of faithful obedience. Again, the title of that article, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. If you want to get a copy, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. And we're encouraging you to take it and use it as a discipleship tool for yourself, for your family, and also forward it on to fellow workers on the job, to members of your church family and extended family members, saved and unsaved people as well. Remember, it's a seed that you can use to impact the lives of other persons as well. We're honored to have with us in studio today Kathy Chisholm. She's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a state senator here in the state of Mississippi. Sister Kathy, how are you today?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
An honor to have you. And we had the privilege of having you to speak to our staff in devotion a few days ago and shared a powerful testimony. And so I want to invite you to take a moment to just further introduce yourself to our listeners with whatever you'd like to share. And then we're going to dive into talking about some other matters related to the kingdom of God.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And listening to your devotion, it is just awesome. Every word of it, of course, every word of God is true. We all know that. But sometimes it's hard for us to heed to what he's telling us. We sometimes want to be disobedient, which is not good. And I'll tell you a little bit about my bio, which includes disobedience, as I shared with everybody the other day. In January of 2019, my nephew, we call him Boy. Some people think I'm saying Boyd, but I'm saying Boy, B-O-Y. And he called me. He's never gone by anything other than Boy. But he calls and he says, Aunt Kathy, I need something. And I'm like, okay, Boy, what do you need? I'm thinking, I need some lunch. Help me out here. Bring it to me. I'm busy. Tractors broke down. Bulldozers broke down, whatever. And I said, okay, Boy, what do you need? And he says, I want you to run for Senate. I immediately just died laughing at him. I said, Boy, you've lost it. You have fell and bumped your head. I said, I'm not getting into politics. I like politics, but I'm not getting into politics. He said, yeah, you're going to run. And no, Boy, I'm not going to do this now. Oh, yeah, Aunt Kathy, you're going to. Well, we get off the phone, and as I told you the other day, my husband, he has always backed me, any and everything I've ever wanted to do, maybe from afar behind, but he's always backed me. He does not like politics. He's not one to become comfortable in a crowd, like immediately, where I can just walk up and start talking to you. He has to get to know you. Negative Nelly doesn't hold anything on him. So, I put it in the back of my mind. I wasn't even going to mention it to him. One of my friends immediately came to mind, and I called her, and I said, you've been looking for something to supplement your income because you're now a retired school teacher. I have the perfect job. And she gets really excited, and she said, oh, okay, what is it? And I said, well, I want you to run for state senate because it's an open seat. She did the same thing to me that I did to Boy. She just died laughing. She said, I can't even get up in front and talk in front of the teachers, and you think I'm going to get up in front of the entire state. You can forget it. I said, no, really, you ought to run. So she wouldn't do it. And all afternoon, and I know people say, oh, you can't hear God's voice. I may have not heard a voice, but in my heart, God kept pricking my heart all afternoon. I kept hearing, you're going to run. No, Lord, I don't want to do this.
Which is one of the clear ways God speaks to us in our heart. Some people may hear an audible voice, but lots of believers may never hear an audible voice from the Lord. Mm-hmm. But he speaks through our hearts and our minds actually every day.
He speaks through my heart, my mind, and a lot of nights he wakes me up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And the thoughts that I woke up with, I know it's the Lord talking to me. Mm-hmm. That happens quite often. So anyway, all afternoon, I'm like, no, Lord, I don't want to do this. So Bob comes home that night and we're sitting around. I don't mention it. I leave it alone. The next night we go to my brother's house and I have two deceased brothers and two living brothers. So we go to my brother's house in Ecru and it was their 50th anniversary. Boy's on the other side of the island. My husband's sitting to my right after we've gotten fat off of cake and ice cream, which I did not need. Boy comes around and sits down on my left, and he says, okay, Aunt Kathy, let's finish this conversation. I said, what conversation? Or my husband said, what conversation? And I said, at the moment, first I said, Boy, you tell him. And he said, you're going to run. And I said, Bob said, run for what? And I said, at the moment, the state line. So then I look at Boy and I said, okay, Boy, you tell your Uncle Bob what you're wanting me to do. Well, he told him, and my husband's face, it would just flush. I've never seen that after all these years of marriage. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? He's fixing to tell me, no, you don't need to do that because it's very negative. And all of a sudden, he started shaking his head, yes, spirit, real slow. And he said, Yeah, I think you ought to. Now, Lord, where did this man come from? What did you do with my husband? So they all started in on me and want me to run. And I was being very rebellious to God because he had already told me the day before to run and I wouldn't listen. I was extremely rebellious. I'm a hard-headed child and he knows that. But God knows how to handle us hard-headed children too. So I told him, okay, I'm going to talk to my other brother. And he's always been in politics. I said, if he gives me his blessings, I'll run. And if he doesn't, y'all have to leave me alone. So the next morning when I call him and he says, when the phone rang, he said, hey, Sugar, what are you doing? I said, well, Danny, I have a question. He said, okay, what is it? And I said, what do you think about me running for state senate? He said, well, Sugar, if anybody else can do it, you can too. No, Lord, that's not what I was asking for. And he said, give me a few minutes. Let me make some calls. I'll call you right back. About an hour later, he calls back. And I said, hello. And he said, well, let's do it. And I'm like, Lord, that's not what I was looking for either. But it was God's the one that sent me to Jackson. Mm-hmm. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, there's been a lot of trials and tribulations, and he's walked with me through every one of them, picked me up and carried me through most of them because I needed to be picked up and carried. Mm-hmm. And he has brought me to where I am today. I may not be the most effective senator down there because I don't vote exactly maybe like they want me to.
Now, how long have you been a senator now?
This is my fifth year, second term.
Fifth year. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes when you go to do God's work, if you stand alone, well, you're really not alone. God's with you. He's always with me. Mm-hmm. But when I feel like I'm standing alone because of the way maybe I vote, and there's some others on the floor that vote the same way I do, but the majority doesn't. And you feel like, well, why am I here, Lord? Why did you send me here? But he had his reasons for sending me here, there. And it seems like the longer I'm there, the more I see it. And I look back over my years of growing up, and it's so plain to me now, God had prepared me. The things I've gone through all of these years, he prepared me for where he has me today. Mm-hmm. And there's just no doubt in my mind about that.
Mm-hmm. And so you said you're in your fifth year as a state senator then. So. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Well, again, an honor to have you to come and share, and just it's a fascinating story. I want to ask, would you pray for listeners to discern the need to listen to the Lord for themselves? Because just like the Lord had a very specific calling and work he was calling you to, God has a specific calling for every single believer, and it's our job to listen and to discern it and then to walk it out, to live it out. Would you pray for believers to grow, to seek, to live and listen for that calling in their lives as well?
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, again, we so humbly bow before you asking forgiveness of our sins, our shortcomings, your glory. And Father, we do lift up every listener that's listening to us today, whether it be just here in our country or worldwide. Let our words fall upon the ears. Let your words through us fall upon the ears of those listeners. Teach them to be obedient. Let them see. Father, just let them understand that you are speaking to them through their heart, or even if they hear that tiny little voice, because it's a voice that's coming from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Father, I pray that if there be one out there that's troubled today, that they seek help, that you lead and guide them. If there be one out there today that has prayed and prayed and felt like they haven't got an answer, that they don't hear you, Father, I pray that someone, whether it be me or whether it be anybody in the studio, don't just limit it to the three people in this room, whoever it might be, let this person come to one of us, call one of us, and your words through us guide them. Let them hear what they're needing to hear that you want them to hear. Let them understand. Father, I just pray that every listener understands and knows that you are there. You are real. You are the great physician. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I repeat that over and over because it's really important to me that people understand that you are the great I am. And if we just be still, and you tell us in your scripture, you tell us to be still and let you be God, because you are God. And if we'll be still, you will take care of us. You'll pick us up when we need to be picked up and carry us. You'll give us the words that we need at the time that we need them. Because, Lord, you know my heart, my feeble mind, and you know that I never have the words. Without you, I could never say a prayer. Without you, I could never do the things that I do or even show your light through me. And, Father, these things we ask in the most precious heavenly name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Kathy. And Father, too, thank you for the fact that you call us all, and every calling is an important one. Help us to never underestimate how important it is for us simply to receive that calling, to walk it out, and obey you. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of obedience. Empower us to be a people that are quick to say, yes, Lord, whatever it is you're calling me to do, and to step into it. Help us to know, Lord, that Lord, when you call us, you never call us to walk alone, but you call us and you let us know, I will be with you. Help us to be mindful of the fact that we walk in the power of your Spirit. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our in-studio guest is Kathy Chisholm. She's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a state senator here in Mississippi. We'll be right back. Music of Phillips, Craig, and Dean with the Revelation Song. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Kathy Chisholm. She's a servant of the Lord Jesus and a state senator here in the state of Mississippi. Kathy, would you share with us, as a believer and a public servant, what does spiritual warfare look like from your perspective as a follower of Christ?
You know, there's different ways you can go with that. There's different ways I can answer it. And of course, being in politics, being a state senator, I'm looking at the spiritual warfare when we talk about the election. Mm-hmm. I know that the spiritual warfare is in the home, mm-hmm. because after all these years of marriage, I know you have to give a take as well as you give. And if you don't teach your children and you don't read the Bible and you don't go to church, then you have some problems in your home. That's the spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. But I would like to talk about spiritual warfare in the context of our election. This mm-hmm. year is going to be the most important election that we have ever had in the history of the United States. And that's my thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times every election we've ever had, it's been, okay, do we want a Republican? Do we want a Democrat? We're beyond that now. We're in an election. Do we want good or do we want evil? Mm-hmm. That's pretty much where we are in this election. I'm just astounded at some of the things that happen. Of course, I'm Republican, and I firmly stand for the Republican platform. Some of the thoughts that that maybe I'll share with you. It really bothers me on the Democrat side. Like, they just had their Democrat convention in Chicago, and they actually had, and I said I wasn't going to talk about abortion, but I'm trying to talk about what I feel like God wants me to.
Right.
It really bothers me. They had a mobile unit there to do abortions on the premises mm-hmm. at the DNC. That tears me apart. That's why I say that we are in a spiritual warfare, because the Republicans, as a Republican, I do not believe in abortion. I understand there are cases where maybe the mother's life is in danger. But if I felt like my life was in danger, I'd want the doctor to really, really prove it to me. And I'll say this, having my child, I had miscarriages before my child. Mm-hmm. I was married 13 years before she came along. And even in the hospital, I was in labor 27 and a half hours. And they came in and gave me a shot of morphine. I didn't know I was allergic to it. Well, they lost my baby's heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And then they thought that they weren't going to be able to save me. So they called the family to come in. But had the doctor come in there and told me, okay, we've lost your baby's heartbeat. We're going to have to take this child in order to save your life. I couldn't have done it. I would have said, no, I'll take my chances. Mm-hmm. But I do understand that there are sometimes that maybe an abortion is... But as far as taking a mobile unit to a convention and offering free abortions here, just come to our convention and we'll give you a free abortion. That's the spiritual warfare I'm talking about when we talk about this election. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that are just really important that we vote Republican. And I can't tell anybody how to vote. I'm not telling you or anybody in this room how to vote, but I've got to tell you what's on my heart. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that we need to weigh out all the pros and cons here. And, you know, our preachers, some of them don't want to preach politics in church. Mm-hmm. And I'm all about preaching politics in the church, not just because I'm a politician, but God gives us reference in the Bible. My preacher, Brother Marty Merritt at Beulah Baptist Church in Myrtle, and I love him to death. He's just awesome. Mm-hmm. He's going to preach politics when God lays it on his heart. You know, a couple of thoughts that I got some scriptures here I'd like to read. Just a few thoughts. We need to intercede our state and country. And that's in 1 Timothy 2:1 would make reference to that. I don't know that I've got 1 Timothy. Yes, I do. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks may be for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And I feel like that God is calling on the leaders of this country to step forward with godly values and put aside all of these, I call it demon values or demon mm-hmm. thoughts and things that are happening today. We need to be a light into the darkness, and that's going to be in Matthew 5:14, 15, and 16. And I have to bring these with me to read because my memory's not that good. Okay. But 5:14-16, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So again, to me, in this election, we as Christian leaders need to step forward and bring Christ into this election. Mm-hmm. Our country was founded on godly principles. And if you look over the years, it's like we have just gradually pulled away from the godly principles in politics. And mm-hmm. and our country needs to go back. You know, God tells us to pray and look to Him, and He will heal our land. And then my third thought here is we need to be proactive in our politics. Be vocal. Be voters. I encourage everybody, you know, do your research. And before you decide I'm voting Democrat or I'm voting Republican, let the decision be I'm voting for evil or I'm voting for good. So mm-hmm. pray about it. Where does God lead us? And of all the years that I've been old enough to vote, this is the 1 year that we need our Christians to stand up and go to the polls and vote. We need our Christians to talk to any of their neighbors, their friends, talk to them about the politics. Because if we don't, I'm afraid that we're headed toward communism. And that could be terrible for this country.
Well, you know, Sister Kathy, I think something I would want to share in relation to some of what you just shared, I've had the privilege of being a pastor for almost 50 years now. And from my perspective, I really believe it's such that as believers, I think we really shouldn't be committed to either party per se, but we should be committed to what most closely helps me follow God and His Word, help me be discerning, because it's important to know that when sometimes people ask, well, is God Republican or is He Democrat? Neither.
Neither.
God doesn't take sides. God gives us His truth, His Word, and if we want to be on the right side, we need to line up with His Word, and we'll be on the right side. If we disobey or go against His Word, we're on the wrong side.
That's exactly right.
So it's important for us as believers to strive to honor God in everything. And, you know, when people talk about, well, should a pastor preach politics? You preach truth related to every issue and every concern, and that covers politics and everything else.
Exactly.
So in either direct statement or in principle, God's Word deals with everything. So
that's
there
right.
is no issue that you can't bring into the pulpit, because the goal is you want to honor God in every area of your life. Bring truth into that, you know.
And that's why I put so much emphasis on pray about it. Mm-hmm. Are you going to vote? I mean, we have an evil and we have a good here. And I don't want to call them Democrat or Republican. I'm Republican. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have to be affiliated. I don't have to be, but I choose to be affiliated with mm-hmm. one party or the other in my political position, and I choose the Republican Party mm-hmm. because I know that the Democrat Party does support abortion and other things that's against my belief. So mm-hmm. that's why I put so much emphasis on let's pray. Pray about where you need to vote. Pray about where everybody needs to vote. You know, everybody's going to have to get their answer from God. And yes, I'm glad to hear that you do believe in preaching and on politics or preaching what's right, the preaching the Word of God.
As it relates to everything.
As it relates to everything.
Issue. And you know, I would have mentioned this too. It's important for us to understand this, that again, our goal should be to honor God in every part of life. And it's tragic, like, if the believers pull out of a certain area of life, then the devil will try to fill that vacuum.
He will fill it.
And so the critical goal is that believers should be involved in every area of life because, again, we represent God.
That's right.
We represent the kingdom of God. And so it's important then that, and, you know, as it relates to issues, one of the big needs in the body of Christ is believers need to do their homework. Find
exactly.
out what a person stands for. Don't just decide I'm going to vote for them because they're in my party, or I'm going to vote for them because of what color they are. I'm going to vote for them for this. Find out what do they say they stand for. And if you don't know what they stand for, you better find out.
Do some research.
A believer can find themselves opposing God by supporting certain individuals who are standing for wicked things. But to be quite honest, sadly, there's a lot of ignorance out there where some people have little or no idea, very little idea about people they say they support and what they really stand for. So it's important. Do your homework. Find out who that person is, what they stand for.
And there's so many people that say, well, I'm going to vote for this person or that person because my cousin said they go vote for this person. That's mm-hmm. who we want you to vote for. Don't listen to your cousin, your neighbor, your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your daddy. Love, honor, and respect your mother and daddy. Mm-hmm. I'll preach that all day long. Mm-hmm. But don't listen to anybody. Go do the research for yourself and see where the evil stands, where the good stands, and then make up your mind who you're going to vote for.
Right. And, you know, our time is just about completely gone here, though, but one of the things I believe to be true is that I believe it's wise for a believer to make it your goal never support any leader that stands for abortion. Because abortion is the murder of an innocent human being. In Old and New Testament, if you want to get on God's bad side, you come against the widow, the helpless, those that cannot defend themselves. And so I think it's actually a good litmus test. If this person supports abortion, don't support them.
Amen. You know? Amen.
Our time is just about gone. If someone would like to be in touch with you or maybe ask you questions or learn more about how to pray for you, Sister Kathy, how can they do that?
Well, of course, I don't have a card with me, but they can contact the Capitol and the messages get to me.
And reach your office through, just ask for Kathy Chisholm. Then.
But you know what? And this this may be detrimental, but I always put my phone number out there. I want my constituents to call me. And if someone has a problem with what I believe in or whatever, but my phone number is area code 662-538-4577. Okay. And like I said, that could be detrimental to me because there could be some people listening that maybe they might bombard me. But anyway, if they need to call me, feel free to call me. I'll talk to them anytime.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get saved. If you'd like to make that step and be saved and commit your life to Christ, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and received Christ, we want to be in touch with you. I want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in the Lord. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. Allow us to share some of those resource materials with you to help you to begin to grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus. Sister Kathy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And I want to invite every listener, please pray much for Kathy and all the rest of the persons in leadership in the Mississippi State government and in the government of our nation and the governments of our world. Every person in leadership needs your prayers. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.